We offer a warm welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
As I discuss the Christian faith with many people, I learn that there are those who have a lot of questions regarding prayer. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, back many years ago, your disciples asked, "Teach us how to pray, will you?" And we ask that same question today. Can you help us, Lord? For we do have trouble with our prayer life. Why is it that it appears that so many of our prayers are not answered? Why is it, O God, that there are some people who receive great answers for their prayers according to their testimony, but some feel that they have never had a prayer answered? These are important questions. It is not that we do not believe in you. It is simply that we are puzzled. So help us as we take a look at your prayer life on this blessed day. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 6. "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them, and they knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you had sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Please protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from the world.
Friends in Christ, in the tense hours of life, isn't it comforting to hear someone say, "I'm praying for you"? Today there's an even greater comfort when our Lord Jesus Christ, speaking through the Scriptures, says, "I'm praying for you." I understand well the problems that sometimes we have when it comes to prayer. The disciples requested that Jesus teach them how to pray. I wonder if we don't have that same request today. The problem for many of us who live in a personal relationship with Christ is not how to pray, but often what to pray. We understand well from the Bible that prayer is a conversation with God. The more personal our relationship is with God, the more intimate our prayers are. If God is still a stranger or only some higher power, a praying will be like talking to a stranger. But when God can be addressed as our Father, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we can let all of our feelings and our hurts come to the surface. The big question then is not, should I pray, but for what do I pray? As I read the Bible, at least, the Bible gives no limitations for which we can pray. Sure, the little boy can pray for his bicycle, and we can pray for some things that are kind of petty, too. The Lord Jesus says, "Cast all of your cares on me." He doesn't begin to say what cares we may bring and what we may not bring. Sometimes I fear that we become so technical in all of this presentation of prayer that we make praying so complicated the average person does not dare to do it. Prayer is a very simple thing. It's a conversation with God. At the same time, it is true that as long as we live and mature in our Christian faith, there will be growing regarding prayer. And much of that growing, I find, is in this matter of for what do I pray? Now, when we take a look at some of the prayers of Jesus, we get what I would call top priorities in our Lord's prayer life with the Father. One of the most blessed chapters in the New Testament is the 17th chapter of John, from which our text comes today. Here, as we study through what Jesus is praying, we get some understanding of what he puts first. For example, this prayer can be divided into three parts. The first part deals with Jesus' relationship to his Father. The second part deals with the disciples' relationship with the Father. And the third one deals with the future believers' relationship with the Father. That would include you and me. Now, notice in his prayer, and it happens to be in the second part, dealing with the disciples' relationship with God. What is it that God prays for? He prays that they will be obedient to God's word. Listen again, they have heard and obeyed your word. I gave you the word you gave me, and they have accepted them. In other words, Jesus had sat there with them and told them what the word of God really was. They didn't have their Bibles, of course, that had yet to be. But they had the word of God. And there they could learn that faith in Christ Jesus brought the forgiveness of sins, and the forgiveness of sins brought reconciliation to God, and reconciliation to God meant a personal relationship while they lived here on this earth and for all eternity. It's an important prayer that is prayed for the entire church, that we may be faithful to the word of God. Depart from it, and soon we have no authority within the church. For example, Jesus well knew that the day was not far ahead when two of his disciples, John and Peter, would go to the temple to pray. And while they're there praying, they heal a person. That miracle then brought about a great deal of questions. How did this all happen? And from that, you get the understanding that the crowd became very, very excited. And it began to ask the question, in whose name did you heal this person? And they began to talk about the name of Jesus. Now, you would have thought that probably God would have said, Jesus would have said, let's have an awakening here. Let's have a real rally. Let's have a lot of people come into faith in Jesus Christ. And that didn't happen to be the case. The case was that John and Peter were interrogated. They were tried. They were put into prison. Does Jesus pray that that will not happen to them? And not as far as his prayer is concerned. What he did pray was in that very tense hour, when it was extremely difficult, John and Peter would remain obedient to the word of God. What did he pray for? He prayed that they would truly be his witnesses wherever they went, that they would hold up the cross, and that through faith in Christ, that cross would become the means whereby they would enter the kingdom of God. But there were other things that he prayed for. He prayed that they would be obedient to the word of God so that that might show in their relationship to other people. For example, you remember what the word of God said, don't you? Feed the hungry. That's a part of Jesus' message to his church. The other day, I picked up a newspaper, and I read about the situation in one of the largest cities here in the Midwest. The teachers were telling that many of the students would come to school in the morning, and they would not have had breakfast. There was no food at home. The reason for that starvation, I don't think we understand completely, but this we do understand, that there were little boys and girls who came without having had anything to eat. Now, our Lord Jesus speaks very specifically to that. I want you to be obedient, he said. That's what I'm praying for, Father, that they may be obedient to the word, and that that word may cause them to reach out and feed those who are hungry. After telling them the story of Jesus Christ, feed their stomachs. That's the word. Now, I have to ask the question, is that a high priority in your prayer life? And as I take a look at my prayer life, I often find that, no, not too often, do I find myself saying, oh, Lord, today, make me close to your word. Make me a strong, strong exponent of your word. I do pray that, but it doesn't always have top priority. Let's go on to another one. What does he pray? He prays, protect them, Lord. But protect them from what? Listen again to the words. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. Protect them not from physical danger necessarily, not from beatings, insults, imprisonment, shipwrecks, and they all experience those difficult things, but protect them from the power of the devil. My prayer, he said, is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. For it is that evil one who will destroy the faith and make them disobedient, unfaithful, ineffective witnesses of Jesus Christ. Against that, oh God, I pray. Oh, it's easy, isn't it, for us to pray for protection for the body? Obviously it is. Is it wrong? No, of course it isn't. Real often when our loved ones have been home and they're departing, we have a prayer before they leave. We pray for a safe journey. Is that wrong? Of course that isn't wrong. But probably a higher priority is, Lord, as they go on their way, protect them from the evil one. See the priority? This is a lesson in the school of prayer. This is a lesson in maturing in faith. That our prayers are, O Lord Jesus, I ask that you would help me to be obedient to your word. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll protect me from the evil one, that you'll protect my loved ones. Another one that he prays, my prayer, Father, is that they may be one just as you are in me, and I am in you. In spite of our differences in character, in spite of our differences in likes and dislikes, our own little idiosyncrasies, Jesus is praying that there may be someone, and that someone is himself, who will make us one, who will bind us together. And that unity will be based in love. So he says, Father, I have made known to them that love which binds us together, in order that the love you have for me and I have for you may be also found in them. The unity. Now, that does not necessarily mean that we will not have our own denominations, but it means that our relationship with Jesus Christ will take us far beyond any lines that can divide us and will bring us into that place where when I'm with you, you and I are believers in Christ Jesus, there is a oneness. That's the kind of a oneness that God wants his church to have in order that it may be a fantastic witness to an unbelieving group of people in society who can't understand it, but know that they are bound together. He also prays another priority. I pray that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. The day may not be filled with happiness, but there may be an inner joy of knowing Christ. It may not mean that all the time things are going exactly the way that we want them to go, but we know that in spite of all the tears that can be shed, the heartaches that can be experienced, there is an inner joy. We see that with the people of God as they grow in their faith. When sometimes death comes, they have to part. In spite of it all, the hardness, the difficulty, we cannot minimize it. There is an inner joy of knowing that we all belong to Jesus. Well, those are some of the priorities in this one prayer that Jesus prayed. Is this an all-inclusive prayer? No, not at all. But the blessings from God, I believe, do have a priority. Can we, And should we pray for other blessings? Of course. But as we grow in our relationship with Christ and our prayer life grows, it will move from the earthly blessings to those blessings which have eternal dimensions. You see, no matter how hard we try, we are bound pretty much to this life. We love this life, and that's the way that it should be. But our Heavenly Father goes on to tell us that there is something far more beyond the 70 and 10, 70 that we will spend on this earth. Those are the real blessings that have, again, eternal dimensions. And so those are some of the great truths that he puts into his prayer life, and I'm sure urges us to put into our prayer life. In the meantime, we can go on and take a look at some of these other things that we feel are quite important. And so we pray for the healing of our loved ones. We pray for good health. We pray for success. We pray that all may go well in everything that we do. But remember, if every last one of those is not answered by our Lord exactly the way we would have him answer it, then remember this, that he still answers prayer, but he prioritizes, and he is concerned that these prayers that affect our soul as well as our body may be answered by him. Prayer is not easy. In one sense of the word, it's very simple. But in another sense of the word, it leaves a lot of questions. And I'm sure we'll live and we'll die with these questions. But one day when we see him face to face, then all of the answers will be apparent. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, today we pray that this message may bring strength, may bring satisfaction, may bring some answers to those who listen regarding prayer. Lord, we pray that where at times we are baffled, because we did pray, and we had hundreds of other people pray for us, that which we requested did not actually happen the way that we wanted it to do. Help us, O God, to understand that maybe it was not a part of your priority. Maybe it was not within your will. And help us to understand that with our small minds, we cannot begin to penetrate what your will truly is for our lives. But Lord Jesus, we ask that we may continue to come to you in prayer, and we pray that we may sense your presence with us as we bring each one of these cares. We'll leave it to you, Lord, to sort out what is priority and what is not. Now, God, we pray that as we listen to Leontine Price sing that prayer that you taught us to pray, we may carefully listen not only to the beauty of the voice, but to the lyrics, for there too we find out what is your will. Then may we ask that that be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you this week. We have designated April as Letter Month. We encourage each listener to write, call, or email our office and tell us what station you listen to. This helps us know which radio stations are being heard. All listeners who respond will receive either a CD or cassette featuring Reverend Larson's 6 Bible Teachings of the Christian Faith sermon series. Please call or write this week to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, to share with us the station where you hear Christian Crusaders and whether you want a CD or cassette of this special gift. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invite you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the last 42 years.